Hi, this is Jim Swilly. Welcome to Metron Live. Metron is a Greek word that means sphere of influence. I believe in living your best life possible, and that's the reason for this podcast. This is my Metron. Now let me help you discover yours. Let's make some affirmations. I point to me, I say it. I point to you, you say it. Don't just think it, say it. Send the energy of your words out into the atmosphere. Hey, Pam, so let's go. I am blessed. I am a blessing. And we ascend to the highest affirmation, which is I am. And you say it. I am well. I am wellness. I am. I am healed. I am health. I am. I am whole. I am wholeness. I am. I am free. I am freedom. I am. I am peaceful. I am peace. I am. Beautiful. Now let's add a little breath work with that. We get into it a little more when we actually do meditation. That's coined a new word. But just any kind of breath work is positive. And you can learn this technique and keep yourself away from anxiety and walk in your peace. There's great power in your calmness. Hey, Roz, Mr. Roz. So we're gonna go into the nose and hold it, and then exhale through the mouth. Get some nitrous oxide into the body, oxygenates the body. It's a relaxation technique. For the most part, meditation is just basically breathing. And spirit and breath are used interchangeably in the scriptures, which is why it's such a spiritual exercise. So let's go. We're going to go in, hold, exhale. I'm going to do 7 breaths today. Let's do a second one. In, hold, do it, exhale. Number 3, in, hold, exhale. In, out. Here comes number 5, inhale, exhale. 6, in, out. 1 last one, inhale. Exhale. Beautiful. I love the synergy of the affirmations with the breath work. It's very empowering. Before I share this word with you, I speak into the atmosphere and I say, let there be light. I also confess that the Spirit of the Lord God is upon me to preach good tidings to the meek and the opening of the prisons to them that are bound, to recover sight to the blind. This phrase has come up in several of my conversations recently for different reasons, but it seems like so many conversations that I've been in, either through life coaching appointments or through just regular conversation, where people talk about the concept of process, about manifestation happening through process, transformation happening through process. And the phrase that keeps coming to mind, I keep finding it just keeps resurfacing in my consciousness, is evolution, not revolution. Evolution, not revolution. Change is possible, but change is not instantaneous. Evolution, not revolution. Let me explain what I mean. I've used this example several times. Like today, I wore my overcoat today when we went up to Inspire. And last week, I was walking around. I took a long walk. It was like summertime. I was wearing shorts and a t-shirt. And today, in Atlanta, it feels like winter. And, you know, they say that everybody makes that joke about Atlanta. Whatever kind of weather you like, move to Atlanta and you'll have it that week. But what I pick up from the way the seasons change, especially in this part of the world, especially where we are on the globe, by the way, the earth is not flat. Sorry, I don't want to argue with you about it, but it's not. People think I'm joking when I say that, but I've actually had to block some people who wanted to argue with me that the earth is flat. And it's like, I can't, I feel like I'm taking crazy pills. So anyway, but largely because of where we are, relatively close to the equator, we do get a change of seasons, but winter doesn't turn to spring like flipping a switch. Like right now, I can look out the window and I see, you know, some of these green spaces around here that the trees are already budding. And it happens every time this year. I mean, every time of year. It happens every year this time of year. There's like a pseudo spring that takes place. And people are always concerned that the things that are budding are going to freeze. And sometimes they do. I know, and I know some of you, like I'm sure up where Linda is, some of you are in snow right now. But I know, I remember that it's, in years past, it's snowed, not as much as you get up north, but it has snowed here in Atlanta as late as the first week of April. And what happens is, as the globe is rotating and revolving at the same time, as it revolves, that's what causes the change of seasons. But the revolution is evolutionary. It's not like it just, it's not like it's in this position and then it goes boom. Like, it doesn't go like that. It moves slowly. So that what you'll have this time of year, late February, March, you'll have warm day, hot day, cold day, freezing day, warm day, chilly day. And it's because there's an evolution happening with the change of seasons. Now, when you get up into May, especially mid-May, there's no possibility that it's going to snow. I mean, by that time, spring is completely kicked in. But the point is you, these little sneak previews you get of the following season are just, they're just that. They're little sneak previews. I posted a few days ago, I was out walking, and even here in the city, there's lots of little parks and little landscaped areas. And as I was walking, I kept seeing, some people call them daffodils, some people call them jonquils. They're this, you know, those beautiful yellow color flowers. And I posted something about them because I said, I call them daffodils. What I love about them is they're like these little optimistic, prophetic indicators that spring is coming. It's going to take a while before you see dogwood trees and, you know, different things begin to bud on a different time schedule. But those, there's something about the yellow of them. They're just, to me, they're like little optimists. They're these little flowers that pop out early. And they're pretty hardy, you know. They outlast the cold weather usually, but to me, the way I interpret them, and you know, I believe in listening to flowers. Jesus said, "Consider the lilies," and he wasn't being poetic. He literally meant, "Go sit in a field and let a flower talk to you. It will tell you things. A flower can tell you things that a thousand sermons can't tell you." And what the daffodil says is, "I know it's cold right now, but hang on, spring is coming." And there's something about the juxtaposition of that bright yellow color next to the gray background that is always, it always captures my attention. And it says to me, it's not going to be winter forever. Spring is coming. Seasons change. And change is coming, but it's evolution, not revolution. Now, I'm not going to use one particular text for this today because there's so many scriptural passages I could use to make this point. Like, where he says the prophets says he will speak line upon line, precept upon precept, here a little, there a little, you know, when the lepers came to Jesus, he spoke healing over them, and it says they were healed as they went. Most times when Jesus spoke healing to somebody, they had an instantaneous manifestation. But the 10 lepers that came, they had some sort of evolutionary healing. And Gesundheit. And, you know, not one of them returned. And Jesus says, well, you know, where are the other nine? So we have no idea how long that process took. But it's a great story to have included in the Gospels, because it basically says, hang on, if your healing doesn't manifest revolutionarily, it will manifest evolutionarily. Or Jesus saying that in Mark chapter 4, the kingdom of God is like a man who plants. He's using corn as a metaphor. He says the kingdom of God is like a man who plants seed in the ground, and it comes up, first the blade, then the ear, then the full corn in the ear. And even when he talks about the hundredfold return being 30, 60, or 100, if you read it in a particular context, he's basically saying eventually the 30 will become the 60, and the 60 will become the 100. Don't be upset if you only got a 30-fold return. The 30-fold return is an indicator that you should trust the process, because the 60 and the 100 are following after that. So I was thinking about this anyway, and, you know, I took homiletics in college. Homiletics is literally the art of preaching. And, you know, for years, I actually did use those techniques I was taught in college about the way to put together an outline. And, there is an art form to it. There's an art to public speaking. So I wasn't totally dismissive of that. But I'm not a preacher. I've never aspired to be a preacher. A lot of people say you're a teacher. I don't even know that teacher is the word. Honestly, I don't know that I want an explanation for what it is that I do. I'm manna. You know, the word manna is literally a question that says, what is it? The Israelites in the wilderness could never store it up, because it was always, there was something about it that was indefinable. So, you know, that's been challenging for me my whole life. When somebody says, what do you do for a living? I think, how do I explain this to you? Because if I say bishop, you have a certain thing in your mind that's maybe not really indicative of what it is that I do. And if I say pastor, I mean, yeah, I have pastoral gifts, and I've, especially in years past, operated in the office of a bishop. But I don't know that that describes what I do either. And I'm saying that to say I believe in the malleability of the gift. And the reason I brought it up, I don't put together sermons as much as I tap into a word. And if I tap into a word, I will notice that for days, that word takes on a property where it attracts a lot of things, so that when a word is sort of gestating in my spirit, thank you, John. I will. I've decided I'm not going to die, so there's more where that came from. When I'm in that zone, and so it could be argued that this is just confirmation bias, but it feels to me like it is supernatural, because when I'm in that zone, I start noticing confirmation everywhere. Like, people will say something. Thank you, John. If you insist, I'm gonna stay. It's like when Paul wrote to the Philippians and he said, I could go or I could stay, but I've decided that it's more advantageous for you if I stay. I've decided I'm going to stay. But anyway, I will notice that when a word is taking on shape on the inside of me, nearly every conversation I have, every song I listen to on the radio, every time I turn on the TV, I'll be sitting in traffic and I look at a bumper sticker on a car in front of me. There'll be some sentence, line, phrase, confirmation, picture. It's like the universe is abundant with confirmation. People who say God doesn't speak, they're just not listening, or they don't know how to listen, because when whoever, whatever God is wants to speak through me and whatever it is that I do, the message is, just gets clearer and clearer and clearer. So I was already thinking about this today. And we went to Inspire. I've known Greg Kinnard for years and years and years. He used to work for my parents when my dad pastored in Columbus. And then when I had churches that I covered, his church was one of them, and we sewed into them financially, helped them get started. And he's a friend. And for the last 5 years, he's not only pastored, and when I say pastor, he's not just a guy who preaches. Inspire is this really innovative ministry, not just to give food to homeless people, but to really help them get off the street, get integrated back in, get back on the grid, learn skills, get their GEDs. I mean, it's really, and no disrespect to any of the homeless ministries I've worked with, because I've been financially involved with a lot of them. But Inspire, in my experience, is the program that seems to bring about the most positive change in people. And again, nothing against other homeless ministries, but a lot of these ministries around here are just about meeting the immediate needs of somebody, which is valid. If somebody's on the street and they're freezing or starving, they need something right then. So there's a place for that. Inspire is more about the long game. You know, like, what can we do to, change the way this person thinks about themselves and help them get educated. And so 5 years ago, he ran for state representative, and he's up in Gwinnett County, and he got elected, and he's been reelected ever since. And it's really, to him, it's yes and. It's not either or. It's like the pastoral work is not different from his, he believes in the separation of church and state writ large, but when it comes to his personal role that he plays, it's just all the salt of the earth, light of the world. So, like I said, his daughter Alex and her husband, they had a beautiful little baby boy, and they live up in the Washington, D.C. area. But they came down for the dedication today. It was a very innovative dedication. It wasn't like anyone I've ever seen before. Not even like any ones that I've done. And mine are always very different. But he spoke over the baby. And he acknowledged all the family members that were there. But he didn't bring them up on the stage. It wasn't like a typical, what you call, christening. But the entire sermon was an alphabet for his grandson, and Nathaniel, and he had 26 points, A through Z, which I could empathize with, because I've done this kind of sermons. I did one sermon at church, and now it had 100 points. But anyway, in under one of his points today, he said something. I think the M in the alphabet was manifestation, because these were messages he was giving to his grandson for him to read in later years, or to hear in later years. So he was saying, these are the things I visualize for my grandson throughout his life. And with each point that he made, it was a very well done. I'm sure it took him forever to do it. But there was a corresponding picture of the baby that went with each of the point. So it actually turned the entire service into a dedication for his grandson, which I thought that's cool. I, I'm I love innovation. I love when people recreate the template and do something new. I love when a woman with the issue of blood creates her own belief system and says, if I can touch the hem of his garment, I'll be made well, because there was no precedent for it. She created it. I love when people do something that's never been done before. So when he was talking about manifestation, first of all, he said he used what the King James says, Genesis 1:26, let us make man in our image. I usually will say people, but his point was the word man comes from the same word as manifestation. So that really, and I taught about this the other, last time we were in at Landmark Theater. Instead of saying God created man, change it to God manifested man, because it was actually God creating God. It was God creating himself. And then if you follow the Genesis narrative, which I don't necessarily think is literal, but the Genesis narrative is that he takes the woman out of the man, and the word woe man means man with a womb. Initially, whatever it was that the creator created was both male and female. And it says he created he, them, male and female. And, you know, I believe all of that's allegorical. I don't want to argue with you. If you are a literalist, I'll just tell you this. If you're too much of a literalist, you'll never get revelation. You'll start a religion, but you'll never have revelation. Anyway, so I thought that was interesting, because I'm always curious about manifesting things. I had a conversation, I think Greg Grantham's on here. I met him Friday for his birthday. And we had an excellent conversation, because he's very prophetic. And we got together with a group of friends for him yesterday. But when it was just him and me one-on-one, there's a whole other prophetic dimension to it. And he was saying something to the effect, he says, you know, the way you manifest things, and Greg, correct me if I'm not saying exactly, I don't want to put words in your mouth. He said something to the effect, he says, the thing that you do, not everybody can do that. He said, they have to be sort of schooled in it. I said, well, it's interesting you said that, because I've had some pretty cool things happen with the weather, speaking to the weather, especially on our meditation weekends. And I've had people say to me, hey, I tried your little weather trick on our vacation. It didn't work. And I want to say this to them, but it just, I think it will come across not the way I mean it. But I want to say, well, you're not me. I mean, the things that I've learned about manifestation, I didn't know them. Thank you, Pam. I didn't necessarily know those things 30, 40, 50 years ago. I mean, in all humility, dare I say, I am a master. I mean, at this point, I should be. I'm about to turn 65 years old. I've been doing this my entire life, especially since I was 13. So, you know, I should have evolved into something. I should know there's a way to speak. And it doesn't mean that God likes me more than he likes other people, but you have to sort of be trained in spiritual things. It's the whole Star Wars concept of the way Jedi Knights had to be trained, that's absolutely true. It doesn't mean you can't do it too. I'm just saying you can't just, you know, Bishop did it. No, I have a different track record. It'd be like me running out on a football field thinking I could be a quarterback with some guy that, you know, he's been training for that his whole life. There's no way I could compete with him. So it's not that God's a respecter of persons, but some people are more developed in things. And I've been studying, whether you called it faith or speaking things into existence, I've been talking about this the majority of my life. I mean, most of the words that have come out of my mouth, especially in my adult life, has been holding a microphone, speaking to a group of people about spiritual things. So I should be developed in certain things. I mean, something would be really wrong with the process if I hadn't learned anything by now. And I'm not saying you can't learn it too. I'm saying it doesn't happen overnight. And so here's the part about the confirmation. When he was teaching today, he referred to, and you know, I'm a Genesis 1 guy. Genesis 1, 2, and 3, that's my jam. I mean, I spend probably more time in those chapters than I do in any others. And at least Old Testament. But he mentioned something. I've kind of taught about this before. But in Genesis 1:1, it says, in the beginning, in King James, it says, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. Verse 2 says, and the earth was void and without form. Some of you may remember a few years ago, I taught out of this, out of the concordant literal version, where he says, out of the submerged chaos, God spoke, let there be light. And it says, it spoke of the spirit in present tense. It says the spirit is vibrating over the face of the deep, and it is becoming light. A lot of times when people visualize the creation narrative, they picture nothingness, and then this entity that we call God says, let there be light, and everything started with that. But that's not, if you're going to follow the Genesis 1 narrative, that's not the way it says it. It says, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth, and the earth was without form and void. And it was in that context that then he says, let there be light. Let me tell you why that's important. When I was in Bible college, they taught us, there's a thing, you can Google it. There's a bazillion articles written about it. There's a thing among theologians called, thank you, Constance. Thank you, Pam. Y'all are amazing. It's called the gap theory. Some theologians believe that between Genesis 1:1 and Genesis 1:2, that there could be eons of time, because their position is God would not have created anything that was void and without form. I disagree with that. And the way Greg, I don't think Greg and I have ever discussed this, but the way he taught it today was exactly what I believe. What he said is, the thing that God created initially didn't have form. It had to take form. Let me tell you why that's important. Jesus healed a blind man one time. And in most of the stories, I don't remember exactly how many blind people the Gospels record, but it's a few. And in most of them, they got their sight instantaneously. With this one guy in the city of Bethsaida, it says that he prays for the man, and he says, tell me what you see. And he says, I see men, but they look like trees walking. And then Jesus prays for him again, and he says, okay, now I can see them. I see men walking around. They look like men. So that those stories, it's very advantageous that those kind of stories are included, because what it's saying is, if the healing process is taking place and you want to see, but all you see is men who look like trees, don't be mad or disappointed. Oh man, I didn't get my full healing. No, you just, there's more where that came from. Philippians 1:6, he who began a good work in you will continue to perform it. So when he said that today about his point was, there are things that we want to manifest. They are inside of us, but they're right now, they're there, they exist. The light, Judah just taught this the other day, that the light already existed, that God didn't actually create the light. He allowed the light. He said, let there be light. In other words, it's just faith 101. It's faith is the evidence of things not seen, or we walk by faith and not by sight, or we look to the unseen things because they're, I mean, that's just, you know, basic level faith teaching. There's something, there's a reality that you can't see. But to take it to the next level is it already exists, dare I say, everything that you need already exists. Manifestation, and this is what I love about the connection with quantum physics, because in quantum physics, what those guys say is everything already exists in the unified quantum field. And the way you observe, if you do any reading on the observer effect, the way you observe a thing determines how it's going to collapse into your reality, how you're going to manifest it. It already exists, but you manifest it. So when he said that today, there's my little signpost from the universe, because that's what I was going to teach on today, and there's my confirmation. Sometimes I don't even realize I'm looking for it. A lot of times it's happened at Metron, because I'm thinking about teaching something, and not that I'm on the fence about it, I just haven't fully fleshed out my thought, and then whoever I've got for the, especially musicians that are intuitive, Marshall Ruffin used to always do it, a lot of times Jonah would do it, they'll sing something. Oh, the last time we were in the theater, Wynn did it. They'll sing something that I'm like, I can't believe that guy just sang that, because that's exactly what I'm talking about today. And I love that. Those, so much of my confidence comes from the other side. It's little high fives from the spirit realm that are indefinable, but they're everywhere. So his point today was what God was going to manifest was already without form, and it was void. It needed clarity. It needed to come into being. I don't always paint a picture this way, but sometimes I do. Sometimes it doesn't always happen this way, but some days I'll just wake up and think, I got to go get a canvas. I don't know. I don't even know what I'm going to paint, but I need to paint something. And I just start putting paint on a canvas, and I have no idea what it's going to become. Sometimes it starts with, I want to see blue today. I want to see bright blue. I just want to look at the color. And I'll start with that, and it sort of starts turning into something. It's like you start seeing this thing come to life on the canvas, and it's a metaphor for watching how manifestation works. It's like initially you see men as trees walking, but you stay with it until the thing comes into focus. And when it comes into focus at a certain time, it's very similar to when a woman gives birth. At a certain time, the cervix effaces and dilates, and the birth canal opens. And your mouth, your spirit is like a womb, and your mouth is like a birth canal. And you birth those things. And when it's the right time, that's why Proverbs talks about a word in season, a word fitly spoken is like apples of gold and settings of silver. When it's the right time, you speak that thing and it manifests. And sometimes you don't see it come to fruition immediately. Like winter doesn't turn to spring overnight. You'll see a couple of warm days, a couple of cold days. You see a little bit of it. And then you may doubt it a little bit. Like, I don't know, is that really what I think's happening? But manifestation comes. I had a thing, I don't know if he's on here today, but I had a thing happen last week that was very interesting. I don't know how many paintings I've done for people. Commission paintings. Some of you who are watching today, I've done commissions for you. And it's not that I'm expecting everybody to just freak out at everything I paint, because I'm not Picasso. I use the painting as a medium to manifest ideas. And to a person, anybody who has commissioned me to do something, and usually when they commission me to do something, I will say, what do you have in mind? And about 9 times out of 10, people will say, I don't care, just whatever you do is going to be cool. I'm good with whatever you do. And so I'm used to working with that kind of freedom, and I sort of use it as a, it's like a manifestation of spiritual gifts. It's not a painting as much as it is a word of knowledge on a canvas, or a word of wisdom on a canvas, or a prophecy on a canvas. The paint is just the medium. And typically, when I get it done, I will send somebody a picture of it, photograph of it, and I'll say, this is basically it. I've got a couple of things I still need to tweak on it, but just so you'll know, here's the idea. This is what it's going to look like. And typically, what I get is, oh my God, that's amazing. I can't believe you tapped into that. I can't, but how did you know? That's exactly, and there'll be all, like I did one for Deanna, who I don't know if she's on here today, but I did one for her and she gave me no specifications, but I drew something, I painted something on it that she has tattooed on her leg. I had no idea she had that tattooed. It was an incredible confirmation for her. I can't say that it always happens, but it happens most of the time. So I'm just used to, it's not that I'm waiting for, you know, applause. I'm looking for confirmation. And typically, when I show somebody the picture, they're like, oh my God. I've never had anybody not be thrilled with it. If they weren't thrilled, they must be incredible actors, because they've all acted thrilled. So I had somebody a year ago who commissioned me to paint something for her son. He may be on here. If he is, you don't have to say anything. She's not, because I blocked her on Facebook. And she said, I want you to paint something for him. And I said, what do you want to paint? She said, whatever you want to do. Fine. So I immediately had a thought that I wanted to do. And I went and even looked at his Facebook page to see if, you know, because what I'm going to paint is definitely going to make a statement about him. I need to make sure he's cool with that particular statement. And I could tell by the things he had posted, oh yeah, yeah, he'll be totally cool with this. So the whole time I'm painting it, I'm thinking, this guy is gonna love this, and his mom is gonna flip out over it. And so I got it finished, and I showed her the picture, and it was just silence on the other end. And I don't know, she just didn't get it, because she had bought a painting from me before. And if you know who this is, don't say anything about it, because I'm not mad at her. I'm actually glad this thing happened exactly the way that it did, because it was a huge teachable moment for me. So I showed her the painting, and she finally wrote back and said, well, I don't know. I got to show it to him to see if he likes it. And I'm like, what? Are you kidding me? I mean, I'm thinking she's going to go, oh my God, that's amazing. Because it had his name on it, everything. She's like, I don't know. And perhaps I overreacted to this. But we had a little back and forth with each other. And it wasn't all that positive. And at a certain point, I just thought, you know what, I'm not talking to you anymore. And I blocked her. And that was it. I'm not mad at her, just whatever. So that's been a year ago, and it's been, that painting has been in a stack of paintings. I had to rework it a little bit because initially it had his name in it. So I changed it. I took his name out because I thought, you know, I've put some time and effort and money into this. Maybe I'll resell it. And so it didn't sell. And Ed, who is on here today, on several occasions, he's sent me money, and I'll say, what is this for? And he'll say, this is a pay it forward. I'd like you to give a painting to, he'll name somebody. He says, just let them pick out of whatever inventory you have. And then if you've got, he usually pays me enough for two paintings. And he said, you pay it forward to anybody that you'd like to give it to. And It's kind of a ministry with him. It's sort of a spiritual thing. He says, when I feel the unction to do it, he doesn't even have one of my paintings. I don't know if he or Kevin brought it, but it's between the two of them who have bought the most of my stuff. And with Kevin's got all of his on a wall. He has an entire wall in his house is my painting. But Ed, and I love the way both of them have handled it. One's not better than the other. But the way Ed does it is, I just get this impulse and I want to, and he said, everybody that I've bought one of your paintings for, they're like, oh my God, that's exactly what I needed right now. So, long story short, I ended up doing a similar painting to that. And when Ed last week wrote me, he said, I want you to give one of these paintings to Eddie Sellers. Let him pick out whatever he wants. And then whatever's left over, you use it to give a painting to somebody else. So I sent Eddie, I said, Ed bought a painting for you. Here's what I have in inventory right now. You can pick out any of these, or if you want me to do a commission for you, I'll do that. That's awesome, Pam. I love that. He says, no. So I showed him and he said, no, I like that one. So he picked the one that was similar to this initial one that I'm talking about. Okay. Well, I posted last Sunday, I posted a picture of me handing that painting to Eddie. And this guy who I'm talking about, who may or may not be on here today, he said, oh my God, I want that painting. And I said, well, it's already spoken for, but I have this one, if you would like it. Someone has paid for me to give a painting to someone. It's available. I sent him the picture and he said, oh my God, I like that even better. Are you saying I can have that? I said, yeah. So Monday of last week, he drove to Atlanta and met me. And I gave him the painting and he's blown away by it. And he said, my mom actually gave me one of your paintings. I said, the one she gave you is one that she bought for herself. But I said, I wasn't going to tell you this, but I actually painted this painting for you a year ago. And your mom and I had a little bit of a misunderstanding about it. And she didn't respond the way that I felt she should have. And so we just have not communicated since then. But I've probably had 10 people ask me about that painting. I'm interested in that, and I would say it's available, and then I never hear from them again. So there's probably not been any other painting I've had that's had so many nibbles, but it just never sold. And so now, Monday of last week, I'm sitting at Starbucks with this guy who I don't remember meeting. He says he used to go to the church. He said, you baptized me when I was a teenager. I said, I'm sorry, I don't remember. I baptized thousands of people, so I don't remember. Thanks for telling me. But he said, that's my painting. I said, well, it is actually your painting. And I said, don't get mad at your mom about this, because she just might not have gotten it. But I actually painted this for you. Initially, it had your name on it. I remember when I posted about it last year, I said, I did this. Exactly, Rhonda, that's the point. I did it last year. I posted something after I had blocked her and it still had his name on it. And I said, I just painted this and the client didn't really like it that much. And somebody wrote me, he said, that's not even my name and I'll take it. He said, I want to drive to Atlanta right now and buy it. But anyway, it just would never sell. It has sat here. I've looked at it for a year. And then all this stuff happened. It finally got it to him. If Ed hadn't sent me that money a few days before, and if Eddie hadn't chosen the painting he chose, I would have never posted that picture, and this guy would have never seen that painting, and he would have never gotten it. And what it said to me is, if it's got your name on it, Even if somebody's painted over your name, it's still yours. Listen to me. Nobody can keep you from getting what is supposed to be yours. And, you know, this guy messaged me back later and he said, this painting is perfect. And I thought, well, that's what I was feeling a year ago when I was painting it. I don't even know you. But as I'm painting, I'm thinking, this is going to be perfect for this guy. And lo and behold, I was right. Exactly, John. Whatever has your name on it is yours. And this is why, you know, there's a scripture in Galatians. He says, it's Galatians 6. He says, let us not be weary in well-doing, for we shall reap in due season if we faint not. And I remember teaching this one time, and I said, let me tell you, yes, exactly, Sonia. I said, let me tell you what I visualize the scripture is saying. Let's say, if we're going to go traditional Bible route, I said, let's say you pray to God for something. You believe you receive it. He says, you'll reap in due season if you faint not. I picture this angel walking up to you, about to hand you the answer to your prayer, the manifestation to your intention. And just as he is about to hand it to you, you faint. You're like, oh, crap, this is never going to happen. And you curse it and you give up on it. And the angel can't give it to you now because you're not in receptive mode. And I said, fast forward to go into heaven one day and some angel showing you the loading docks of heaven and say, look at all this. This is all the stuff you were supposed to have gotten that we had to just take back, return to sender, because just as it was about to be manifested, you fainted and we couldn't give it to you. Now, I'm not saying that's the way it works. I'm saying that's how I visualized it. So whether you need to think an angel's delivering it or not, to me, that's tomato, tomato. The point is, it's evolution, not revolution. And it takes a while sometimes for the thing to come into manifestation. But if the painting is supposed to be yours, it may take a year. It may involve some harsh words back and forth between people. Not all of this process was pretty. I'm sure I hurt his mother's feelings when I blocked her on Facebook, but I have to keep my social media stress free. And anything that stresses me out, I block. I'm not a coward. I just don't like stress. And if you stress me out, I don't hate you. I just take you out of the equation. You're not allowed access to me if you come at me with something that gives me anxiety. Prayer requests don't give me anxiety. Asking advice, that's fine. If somebody's combative with me or whatever, I'm like, no, I love you. Yes, I believe in inclusion. You're not going to hell. You have forfeited the right to have access to me. Being able to contact me at any moment is a privilege. The fact that you have Messenger or text or whatever, or Facebook or however, the fact that you are allowed to communicate with me instantly, you don't have to go through a front office or a secretary, that is a great privilege. And you are allowed to have that privilege as long as you don't violate it. But if you come in here, you know, if you track mud on my carpet, I can't let you back in because you're disrespecting this access that I have. And there are a lot of people who would love to have that kind of access. So I can't allow you to, you know, you're gone. You're not a bad person. You don't have free access to contact me at any time. And that's just the way it is. Whether you think that's good or bad, that's my MO, and that will not change. But with this, I thought, look at all the process that went through. If Ed hadn't sent the money, if Eddie hadn't picked that, all of these planets had to line up for him to get what was already his. So I'm going to leave you with this today. about a year ago, I think Elwood's on here today, about a year ago, I was en route to having lunch with Elwood. And usually when he and I, we don't have lunch often, but when we do, it's the same kind of conversation like I had with Greg Friday. It's like he's definitely on the wavelength with me. He knows enough about how I think, where I came from, like nearly speak in shorthand. I don't have to explain a bunch of stuff. So those kind of conversations are very enjoyable for me. And so it was the last time that Elwood and I had lunch. I was driving to meet him, and I'm listening to the Beatles station on... Okay, thank you, Elwood. I thought you were. I'm listening to the Beatles channel on Sirius Radio. And a lot of the Beatles songs are, you know, they're psalms. You know, my mantra is, and when the night is cloudy, there is still a light that shines on me from Let It Be. That's, you know, that, I mean, I'm surprised I've never had that tattooed on me, because that is my jam. Anytime I ever go through something that's negative, I just think, and when the night is cloudy, there is still a light that shines on me. I mean, I truly and deeply believe that. I come through the fire without the smell of smoke on my clothes. I see Kevin's on here. Kevin actually bought the painting that I did. That's one. It's in his collection with that line from Let It Be. But there's some of the Beatles songs that I've just never thought about spiritually, and I get by with a little help of my friends. It's not even one of my favorite Beatles songs. I mean, it's all right, but it's not my favorite. But it was playing that day. And so it's like the voice in me said, listen to this. And the way that song is set up, Ringo sings the lead on that. And the song is, it's a call and response. The other three guys, you know, what do you see at the end of the day? And then Ringo will answer, na 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 na. Oh, are you looking at it now? Cool, Kevin. Again, you know, it's okay song. I mean, some people think it's about drugs. Some people think it's about community. It's probably about all of the above. Bishop, did the Beatles do drugs? Yeah, it was the 60s. You know, that's, I mean, really, are you that surprised? Anyway, all of a sudden this line hit me. Because I walked right into lunch and told Elwood about it. I said, and because I knew he would get it. It's in the second verse, I believe, where the guys sing, what do you see when you turn out the light? And he answers, I can't tell you, but I know it's mine. And whew, I mean, I'm feeling it now. Just the presence of God just filled up my car. What do you see when you turn out the lights? In other words, when there doesn't look like there's any possibility of the thing working out. When it looks like there's no hope. When you turn out the lights, that's a metaphor for, I can't see my way out of this. I can't see this thing getting any better. And you don't automatically have the answer. But they say, what do you see? Basically, what do you see when you can't see? What do you see when you turn out the lights? I can't tell you. Why can't I tell you? Because the earth is without form and void in me. I mean, it's still taking shape. It's still taking form. It's evolution, not revolution. Spring doesn't just flip a switch on after winter. It evolves into spring. I can't tell you, but I know it's mine. I can't tell you because it's too awesome. It's Mary hearing that she's going to have a virgin birth to the Savior of the world. She, of course she pondered it in her heart. Who do you tell that to? And so what I want to encourage you with today is whatever is yet to be manifested into your physical realm reality, you might not be able to tell us, but I'm asking you, what do you see when you turn out the light? And I want your answer to be, I can't tell you, or I can't tell you yet, but I know it's mine. I got it. Faith says I have it now. Faith is the evidence of things not seen. So I want you to give birth to everything you're supposed to give birth to. What's the point of going through labor if you're not going to have the baby? What's the point of going through pregnancy? Pregnancy is a means to an end. So you've got to stay fertile. You've got to stay productive. You've got to stay prolific. You've got to keep looking at the submerged chaos in the world that is without form and void and say, let there be light. Let there be clarity. Let there be definition. Let there be the word becoming flesh. Let there be definition. Let there be focus. It's there, but right now I see men as trees walking. Now we know in part, but then shall we know, even as also we are known. Don't be discouraged at your evolution. Evolution, not revolution. All right. I'm going to say this as I am prosperous. I have more than enough. I will always have what I need. Let me say, if you have not given to the ministry lately, I'm not talking about giving to me personally. If you have not given to the or ever, this would be a wonderful time to do it. And while you're all stirred up about this word, respond quickly. Go to bishinthenow.com, and anything you give would be helpful. We've got to. We're moving. There's expense involved. There's things we have to pay for. So we have it now. You are a part of that manifestation. I prosper and am in health even as my soul prospers. Do not give because you think we're in crisis, because we're not. Give because you believe in what we're doing. And if it's been your intention to do it, then just do it. Go bishinthenow.com. Just do it. Click on it. And if you want to give to me personally and directly, you can definitely do that too. I will always have everything that I need. But if I don't tell you that you can be a conduit to that, I mean, let me say again, the painting belonged to this guy. But if Ed hadn't initiated it with the money. And I told him this yesterday because he came down for this little gathering that we had. I said, I can't believe I haven't told you this yet. I keep forgetting to tell you. And he said, I really needed to hear that. I said, yeah, I'm telling you, it taught us all something. It taught me that, no, you're right about your gift. When you paint, it is supernatural. What you thought this guy would love, he did love. Just because it takes a year for you to get it doesn't mean it's not going to get to you. So it taught us all something. Even the fact that Eddie chose the painting that he chose, because he could have chosen that other one. So many things happened. Spirit is very economical. When Spirit teaches you one thing, there's lessons learned on many levels. So Metron will always have abundant finances. I will always have abundant finances. I attract abundance. The universe is abundant. I magnetize. Money comes to me. The blessing of the Lord makes rich, and he adds no sorrow with it. So do not interpret that we're in any kind of trouble, because we will always be the head and not the tail, above only and not beneath. But you can be a part of that process. So today would be a good day to do that. And I'll have two more of these to do. Next Sunday, I'll be back at the regular time. And then on April 2nd, we'll be at the Atlanta Theater. Manifestation. 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 Peace.